Okay, switching gears as we normally do. It is a time to focus on what's happening internationally as we bring in one of our experts in Jason Malika. You know him well. Pioneered the start of Fox News Radio way back, I think it was 2003. Does some great public relations work over at American University, and it's always a pleasure to have him on the show. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Jay. Thanks very much. Hope you're well, too.
I am. There's a lot going on right now on all fronts, including in Geneva. They're talking, as we are right now, talking about Joe Biden, Vladimir Putin. And, you know, Jason, to me, you know, it looks good on paper, but the end result I don't think will change. I really don't. You know, I kind of referenced, I think it was 47 years ago, in reading Jimmy Carter, met with Leonid Brezhnev, Number Two Treaty was in place. And then, 6 months later, you have Russia invading Afghanistan. So interesting goings on, as far as always, between these two countries. But I don't expect really anything to come about of this. I mean, it looks good to me. You know, if you're Putin, it's about prestige. It's about being in front of the camera. It's about, you know, window dressing as far as, you know, his rule as far as he's concerned. And if you're Joe Biden, you know, I don't know what it means. I don't think it means anything in my estimate. I haven't seen anything that would allot me any type of different thinking here. What about you?
Well, I agree with you. I think this is really a chance to, for first of all, for, you know, President Biden to just sit down with the Russian president and, you know, meet face to face. Sort of see where the United States is going right now, get an idea from Putin whether he's being upfront and honest, which is highly doubtful, of where Russia is and where he is. But I don't think there's going to be any miraculous breakthrough with, you know, Russia's not going to all of a sudden change its mind with things, and the United States is not just going to say, it's okay, we're still going to be fine with the way things are going. This is basically, and I'm trying to minimize it in any way, but it's basically a meeting between two of the biggest world leaders. And it's a way for, I think, on one side to show the United States, you know, will, even though they're meeting, they're not going to, you know, just take things that have happened with Russia in the past sitting down. And I think from the Russian perspective, at least from Putin's perspective, this is a way to show that he still may have an upper, he thinks he has an upper hand. And so I think in a lot of ways, this is, again, I don't mean to minimize in any way, but it's sort of like a window dressing. You're looking at it as two world leaders getting together. And in the past, it may have seemed like a momentous occasion, but this is really more about the United States showing that, look, we're meeting with you. This is politics and this is world diplomacy, but at the end of the day, the United States isn't going to, you know, pushed around in any way, while Biden's not going to, you know, shake his fist in any way. This is certainly a show of strength in a lot of senses with the United States, and saying, look, we're not going to start putting up with what we're not going to just lay down. These are the terms, these are the things that we're doing, and we are going to continue to do to prevent your government or whatever from interfering. If you want to work together, that's fine. But we're also not going to just, you know, let bygones be bygones.
No question. Jason Malika with us. You know, when you dissect the Vladimir Putin types, you know, and this is very interesting to me. You know, he's a bad guy. Okay, we know he's a bad guy. We know that Russia is filled with corruption. If you break everything down, I was reading, you know, they're so dependent on oil and gas revenues, starving for foreign investment. Their entire GDP, I don't know if a lot of people know this, their GDP, folks, that's the gross domestic product, is $1.7 trillion. Think about that. What was Joe Biden's first COVID relief package? Mm-hmm. You understand where I'm coming from here? So Putin is a crook. This is what I read today. Putin is a cross between a conventional mob boss, a James Bond villain, and a Latin American strongman. And, you know, it really is true. You know, when you look at everything involved with this guy, his personal wealth ranges anywhere from, they say, $40 to $200 billion, who knows, whatever the right number is. Is it from wise investments of a $300,000 salary? I don't think so. You know, he holds on to his power, and we know how he does it. He intimidates. He has murdered dissidents. There is blackmail involved, censorship. Ruthless tyrants have these types of traits, and that's what Vladimir Putin is. He really is. So how do you possibly negotiate? How do you possibly bring up what has gone on? And the evidence is there regarding the meddling and everything else as far as the elections and, of course, the hacking of the pipelines and everything else. I mean, it is there. And the question is, you know, listen, he will never admit it. So what good is it? You know, I just don't understand. What good is a meeting with this guy? I guess it looks good on paper, as I originally stated, but really nothing out of this.
No, and it's just going to be, in many ways, a sort of a, not a reset, but in many senses, it's a way for them to meet face-to-face. You know, I think in a lot of these cases, you don't see the Russian leader and United States president meeting face-to-face except for, you know, short occasions. You're not going to see the Russian president coming to the United States three times a year. You're not going to see, you know, President Biden or any American president going to Russia, off and on, to, you know, develop the relationship because of all of that past transgression by, Putin. And granted, yes, you know, it's the old adage, you know, you keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. And in the case of Vladimir Putin, I don't even think you want to keep him too close as an enemy, but you also do want to make sure you're keeping an eye on what they're doing. Yes, they're not going. This will not be a meeting that will break barriers and will change the way the world looks at Russia and especially Putin. Because let's be honest, he has done all of these things and all of the alleged things that have gone on have been done during his reign as the Russian president. I don't expect to all of a sudden have breaking news later today to say Putin's decided to be, you know, open and honest with the United States and the world about what he's done while in office. I think President Biden is hoping that they can make some, you know, headway on, you know, on Moscow holding American citizens. And, you know, trying to find out, you know, I think in many ways as well, you know, what will Moscow do about the opposition leader, Navalny?
Yeah, I think you're right. No question. We're talking with Jason Malika. Now, you know, I stated a couple of minutes ago, Trump's making a visit down to Texas at the border. He's going to meet with Abbott, Governor Abbott. I think it's June 30th. And being what we just saw out of Kamala, which was nothing, in Guatemala, Mexico, he will actually beat her to the border as far as this country is concerned to take even a closer look at what's happening as far as the infiltration is concerned. How telling is that? How sad is that? And it's obvious why, right? I mean, it's really unbelievable to me how the recognition of this is just not there as far as this White House is concerned. It is unreal. Now you have a former president, and that will only, to me, Jason, exacerbate what this is all about here.
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways, especially after Vice President Harris's visits, abroad over the last, a few weeks ago, and her reaction, I looked at it as saying, while I don't think it affects the current vice president's standing on the world stage or in the United States. However, in a lot of ways, this sort of move by former President Trump to go to the border highlights the missteps so far with the Biden administration. Will it be something overall that people will start, you know, the tide will turn and people will feel that the current administration is not doing everything or it's been a failure? I don't think that will happen. However, at some point, the Biden administration is going to have to do a little bit more into addressing what's been going on. Words are wonderful, you know, in the sense of words with a little bit of political action are great, but what needs to be done is there needs to be more of a visibility. Now, that being said, if you see Vice President Harris go to the border right before President Trump, former President Trump does, or right after he has, I think from a PR perspective, I don't think that's a great move, because it shows you're being reactive to something instead of being proactive. And I think on a political stage, from a political perspective, rather, that's not great at all. And I would not want to be in the Biden administration and finding that, obviously, well, knowing that Trump's going to be down there in June. But I also wouldn't want them to follow up saying, okay, we've got to go there next or right before, because that's sort of like a cat and mouse game. And you don't want to do that, especially if you're trying to reassure people that, look, while the former president may be going to the border, that's fine. We're actually going to do our best to make it better from what's going on right now. And they do need to be doing more. They need to be making sure that they're doing more to say, look, yes, we said we're going to go to the border. We are at the border. This is what we're doing. But instead, you have all of these sort of mixed messages, and then the former president now promising to go down there. And that is a recipe for, in many ways, it's a recipe for a PR mess for the current administration.
And that's what it is on June the 30th. It's just a bad optic. And listen, when the Guatemalan president is blaming this current administration as far as what's happening here, you know, that's an issue. I mean, you have 500,000 encounters since this guy took office. I mean, if that's not telling, I don't know what is. I'll tell you that much. So we'll see what goes on there. Jason Molly with us. Now, let's get to some of these emails from the election. You have a previously secret batch of these things released by the HOC yesterday, the House Oversight Committee. And the message, you know, I'm just wondering, does it shed new light on how Trump pressured the Justice Department during his quest to overturn the results of 2020? The interesting part to me is the White House and the DOJ are not supposed to kind of meld when it comes to investigations and prosecutions, you know, obviously in order to keep politics out of the justice system. But what I want to know is, do these latest emails, in your estimation, show that Trump was unrelenting in crossing the line that you shouldn't cross, and that he and his lawyers saw the DOJ as a way to kind of legitimize their false election claims? What's your take on all of this?
You know, it's really intriguing to me, because all of the things that have gone on, had gone on in the days after the election. And it just, to me, it's very, very, I would say it's disturbing. And in the sense that we have the former president and his aides, or the former president's aides, basically, you know, pressuring the Justice Department to, you know, help legally challenge an election. And I think from that perspective, for me, it's like, there's no doubt that the election was, I think we're at the point now where we know the election was legitimate. Yes, could there have been, you know, small instances of you know, impropriety in some areas? Sure. And were they addressed? Yes. But I think when you have the President of the United States and his aides pressuring the Justice Department to basically back his feeling that the vote was, everything was stolen, I think that to me is just, I'll be honest, you know, it just seems insane to me that a president and his team would just put full court press on to get an election overturned. And in many ways, obviously, it clearly didn't happen. But the fact that it could have is a very, very, in my opinion, scary proposition. And I think it's something that will hopefully, as we see more and more of this come out, it'll show people just the level of where the former president's team was looking to go to stay in office.
Were there improprieties? Yes. Is it enough to make up 6 million votes, that differential? No. Also of note, if one remembers, the acting AG in the final days of his presidency was Jeff Rosen, if you remember that. This guy was prepared to step away. He was not buying into any of these claims. That's something of note here. So, very interesting stuff coming out of there. Interesting out of the Middle East now, where you had the military of Israel striking targets in Gaza overnight, Jason. Those are the first airstrikes since the ceasefire went into effect. It was about a month ago. Historic violence, we know, and everything else here. You know, I look at this right now as a very dangerous situation, because you have a change in government, Netanyahu out. And Netanyahu was always a guy, whether you agreed or disagreed with policies, you know, he held a very steady line when it came to this. He had a lot of confidence as far as Benjamin Netanyahu was concerned. He's not there after 12 years. So I look at this as a volatile deal right now with ramifications beyond. And when I learned of this, I was rather surprised. What's your take on all of this stuff?
Well, anytime Israel, you know, acts against Hamas, what they say are Hamas sites in Gaza, it just really, it's been fragile there over the last, you know, even with a truce or ceasefire, rather. As I look at that area of the world, it just seems like there's no relenting over what's been going on. Yes, for a long time we did have some, you know, we didn't see the level of, I guess, incendiary action from both sides. But it's really has become, as I've seen it here and as I read more, and it really has been it's something that, from as I continue to look at it and as I continue to see this and as I said, read, it just really gets to the point where you wonder, will there ever truly be a peace, regardless of who is leading Israel and regardless of who is moderating it talks and trying to get peace? I think at some point there has to be a situation where both sides come together and say, enough is enough. We need to do something that's going to keep the peace and make people feel like there is an equal footing. And yes, Hamas is a terrorist organization. But it's a matter of both sides realizing that if you're going to eliminate Hamas, there has to be participation from both sides of the coin. If there's not going to be, you're going to continue to have more and more of these. Like I said, what you saw overnight, the, you know, bombings or striking Hamas sites over these balloons. If that's going to continue to happen, where Hamas is going to challenge it, well, that we're never going to see a true peace in that region.
And in my estimation, for reason of the re-engagement of the Iran deal, and let's not forget with Hamas, a derivative of this whole situation, that's something to keep an eye on, okay? And a lot of people will not admit that, but certainly that is part of the problem here, without question. So, you know, when you re-engage after being disengaged and you are allowing more power back into that reign, well, thus is what you're seeing right now, at least in my estimation, as far as what's going on in the Middle East. Listen, finally, on a lighter note, because there are a lot of heavy notes today, but you know, I have a fascination, like millions of others, regarding these UFOs. And I can't help but think, with the House Intelligence Committee, we'll be receiving this classified briefing, I think it's today, on UFOs. And listen, we've all seen the pictures, and, you know, it looks like a 1940s movie and everything else when this stuff is being shot on military planes. But it's a very controversial topic right now, and there's a lot of going back and forth arguing on whether to take these things seriously. So I'm just wondering what's going to happen here, because in the next couple of weeks, the U.S. intelligence community is scheduled to deliver an unclassified report on the matter to Congress. And I have a little bit of a fascination on this thing. What do we see out of this? Is it more like the Putin-Biden talks which is nothing, or do we actually find out some reasoning as far as all the pictures and shots that we've seen over the last couple of months?
You know, I'll be honest, it's very fascinating, and I'm not one to I'm honestly not one to say that I don't want to know what's going on. You know, I'm really intrigued by the whole, I think we've all seen Independence Day. We've seen, you know, Close Encounters of a Third Kind. We've seen E.T. probably, you know, so we're wondering, all right, is it anything like, you know, are we going to see Independence Day come to light or whatever? And, you know, from my perspective, I want to know what's going on, even if during these, when this report is issued and when they have a briefing on this, I'd like to know whether, you know, it's unclassified, if it's, you know, something that they can't explain, or could it be something from another planet? Sure, you know, I don't think people are going to start running into the streets and you know, going crazy saying, oh my God, aliens are here. It's more of, if it is an alien being of some sort, okay, that answers it provide another answer to the question of, are we alone in the universe? Then again, it could be some phenomenon that the military couldn't explain because they've never seen it before. So maybe it is something from either a weather anomaly, or maybe it's something that could be a foreign agency that from another country that was able to, you know, stealthily sneak in, but the U.S. finally picked it up when they saw it with their own eyes. So I think in a lot of ways it may not answer the question, are we alone? Are we, do aliens visit Earth? But it may answer the question is, what are these things that the military picks up, or what are these things that have been reported, and are they actually from another planet, or is it something that is from this planet, but we just haven't been able to explain it, and we still can't explain it? I'll be honest with you, Jay. I'm intrigued to see what reports come out after this and what people say. It'll also be fun to see what the conspiracy theorists think, that the government is continuing to hide that we're not alone and there are aliens at Area 51, things along those ways.
Listen, I'm not saying there's little green men living in Nevada somewhere, but you know what? I'd like to know. I'd like to know what the heck's going on. I mean, the shots taken, we've all seen it, right? From a horror B-flick movie from 1946, it looks like. As with all the, you know, it's funny, all the technology we have, we can't get decent shots of anything. But fascinating as far as what could come out of this. Always great to have you, sir. You know that. Jason does great work. We know about the days of Fox News Radio way back, and, of course, the phenomenal work he does at American University as far as public relations. Until the next time, you stay well now.
Same to you, Jay. Thanks again.
Always a pleasure.